In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The appointment of the 70 comes on the heels of the appointment of the 12. We began this gospel by reading something that most people will overlook. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. After what things? Why would there be this introduction? So, what do you have to do? You have to read what has come before to make sense of what you now have in your hand, or remember it if you are going bit by bit, steadily through the Gospel of Luke. But for us, the way that it is given, I'll give you help. First of all, chapter 9 has 62 verses. The chapter that we're reading has only 42. So a lot happened. Now there's a precursor to all of these things, which was in the Old Testament as a symbol. There was an oasis called Elim, E-L-I-M, and it had 12 wells and 70 palm trees. These are like the bishops and the priests who work in the church today. I don't know how many priests there were when Ambaserapion came. I think maybe about 8. And now His Eminence, we have almost 100. So He is this well that is giving life to the palm trees, which produce the dates, the sweetness, and the sustenance that you eat when you hear the gospel message from priests every Sunday and many other days as well in churches. But in chapter 9, He called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. The same thing that He did that we have just prayed. And He tells them, don't take anything with you. Depend on Me. Don't take clothing, and don't take a money bag, and don't take this, that, and the other, right? Not because He's trying to make their trip more arduous and the commission that they've been given more difficult. No, He wants them to depend upon Him. So they went, and they preached. And they came to the point where Jesus went up on the mountain, and the multitudes gathered before Him, and they had received His message and His teaching hour after hour. And the disciples said, we'll send the multitudes away that they may go into the surrounding towns and lodging and get victuals and eat and so on. Because the Lord said, you give them something to eat. So remember, after these things. What is He doing step by step with the apostles themselves, the 12? I'm going to call them the 12 and the 70 instead of apostles and disciples, because these words are sometimes used interchangeably. The word discipulus in Latin means discipline and student. For a person to be a real disciple of anybody, they must be a disciplined student. An apostle means one who was sent. Posta. Posta magach? Ah, posta lissa magach. The mail has not come. All right. So he gave them task after task. You feed them. Again, what was the reason? As I said to you, when He told them not to take anything that would normally be considered to be a necessity, clothing, sandals, a staff, a money purse. No, He wants them to depend on Him and Him alone. So they turn back to Him and say, we have nothing. Then at the end of this, Jesus asked His disciples, who do the people say I am? This question is not for him. It's for self-revelation. All of you sitting here today, who do you say Jesus is? Now be careful, because there are knee-jerk responses. Oh, he's my Lord, God, and Savior. He's my master. He's my this, that, and the other. Okay, how come you don't get in, up in time to come to church on time? Well, I have a lot of things that I have to do before church, and I don't get that much sleep. Why don't you go to bed earlier on Saturday night? Well, I've got things to do Saturday night too. So who is going to suffer? Oh, my Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, my Master. Of course. Of course. So be careful. But he's saying, who do the people say I am? And you, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say that other prophet. And then the Lord said, who do you say I am? To the 12 directly. And Peter spoke up, the ebullient Peter, and said, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the living God. So then he starts to tell them about his passion. In the next minute, tells them about the passion. And in this, he's letting them know that if I, your master, am going to suffer all of these things, what about you? Should you not expect to suffer? Should you not expect tribulation? Should you not expect dissension? And then this is all Luke chapter 9. There's the transfiguration on Mount Tabor. And with the Lord is Moses and Elijah, and they're speaking. And they're speaking about what is going to take place in Jerusalem. It goes on and on. That's after these things. There's more. We have a time impingement, and I'm not going to go on about this, which of course I could, as you well know. But the Lord says to the 70 whom he sent, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to try to serve somebody and they reject your service. I used to, when I was a brand new priest, I didn't know all of the congregants in St. George, but I would come to the house, ring the doorbell, the door would open, and then the people, Ahlan Abuna, Ahlan, Ahlan, come on in, come on in. Joyous and happy. I said, look, I only have the Bible and the cross and some oil. That's all I have. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not going to solve your marital issues by giving you some strategy. I'm going to tell you the command of God. Are you willing to listen? And then on that basis, I would enter the house. But if I saw that their face changed, I say, I have someplace I have to go, I just remembered. And I left. And it creates a real dissension, because who are they going to blame? Me. Why are they going to blame me? They're going to blame me because I wasn't kind, I wasn't long-suffering enough, and boy, do people want you to suffer. I wasn't patient. I wasn't whatever it was that they lacked in themselves that I was supposed to supply in that moment. What they lacked, I was supposed to reach inside my pocket and to hand to them, right? And again, I'm saying this, I was a young priest, I didn't know the congregation that well. I learned after a while that although what I said was the right thing to have said, it was better to have said it in a prayer and then ask God for help, not knowing the heart of the people. And this is the thing about the sermons. Why does the Lord say to the 70, go into a house and say peace to the house? And if a man of peace is there, that means someone who is going to listen. Ah, everybody is polite and has learned to listen and to obey. And to obey, then your peace will rest upon that house. If not, that peace will return to you. If you go to somebody and they reject you out of hand, then you say to them, the very dust of your city which cleaveth upon are my sandal, I shake off in the middle of the streets. But know this, the kingdom of God has come close to you. You see, almost all of the people that were sent, well, the disciples, of course, the 12, of course, they all died horribly, except for St. John the Beloved. They all died horribly. Most of the 70 met similar fates. How are you going to bear up under that kind of thing? I'm coming to give you a gift. I'm coming to share with you the risen Lord. I'm coming to share with you his immeasurable love. I'm coming to share with you all of these things. Well, you can share that with me, but when it comes to me changing the way that I'm living, no, forget that. No, that's the part that I will not discard. I must be allowed to live willfully. No, but the Lord needs to have you to take off this burden. You don't realize that this burden is holding you to the earth. Yes, you were born from the earth. From dust you were made, and into dust you will return. But your spirit was made for something greater, and he will indwell in you, the Holy Spirit. He will indwell in you if you give him the opportunity. Now the Lord tells them, you know, there's also other kinds of seductions. He says, don't go into a rich man's house as a preference for your teaching. Go into any house that receives you. Go into the house of the poor. Now, that's not a very good way to raise money if you're going to, like, I don't know, doing seismic reconstruction on a church and you need a cash flow and, you know, you can spend time with poor people or you can spend time with rich people, and you know, 10% of a lot is a whole lot more than 10% of a little. And sometimes you will find the priest saying, well, Lord, this is sort of an exigent circumstance. It will pass. It will pass. I'm doing this because this is a temporary thing. No, it will become a strategy. It will become a strategy. And I've seen things that have greatly shamed all of us. When Pope Shenouda used to come and you would have a limousine and you see the priests trying to cram into that limousine. It was like packing sardines into a can. And it was sad. It was sad. Very, very sad. But why wouldn't they want to get the ear of the patriarch? His time is so precious. His abilities to change the direction and the course of somebody's future is immense. He's the head of the entire church. So yes, it's expeditious, but it's not spiritual. It makes imminent sense, but it's not what Jesus Christ asked. He said, do not go from house to house. Do not prefer one place to another, or one human being for another. And then he said, when you're rejected, remember, it's going to be more tolerable in that day when those people are judged than from Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the two cities that he's talking about, Tyre and Sidon, these were cities of Judah. He went to the Jews. The 70 went to the Jews, and they rejected him. Why? You know what happened. You know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire came down from heaven and immolated them. It was a Holocaust. Why will it be more tolerable? See, death is not the end. I wish it were. I wish we had the option of, Lord, I'm not worthy for heaven, and I'm scared of hell. So could I just please die? I bet there's a whole bunch of people that have said that prayer. I'm afraid of hell. I know I'm not worthy for heaven. Could I just die? Could I just not exist? Remember, that's what Hamlet said in Shakespeare. To die, to sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come. And that's what he's talking about, the afterlife. Hell. But there's no second option, such as we've just described. You will have a judgment. And the reason that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to get off a bit easier than the cities mentioned is because there were no apostles there that were going there to try to teach them, to convince them to repent. And the idea here that is expressed in the gospel is that they would have answered with their repentance. They would have said no to their lusts, and no to their own personal ambition, and no to the direction in which they had gone for so very long that led them to that filthy reputation. And then the final thing that he said was a thing of glory to the 70 that he sent. If they reject you, know that they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. And unwittingly, they are rejecting my Father who sent me. So you are in this same line. And when, as I say, as a new priest, I didn't understand this exactly. I understood that I only had a few tools in my toolbox. I had a cross, I had the Bible, and I had some oil. That's what I had when I went visiting. And I have this all the time. In my car, you'll find oil. The point I'm trying to make is a simple one. I didn't understand that. And this is a hard thing. This is why people have such stage fright. They don't stand up representing something. They think they are standing up representing themselves. And so being fearful about how they are going to be accepted or rejected, they get nervous. And sometimes forget their own names. But if you are filled with the idea that your representation is not personal, and that's what I had to learn as a new priest, that I'm representing God and I'm just taking God. And so if they reject me, it's not me at all. I'm simply a conduit. I'm like the pipe that delivers the water to your house. Do you wish to be refreshed? Do you wish to be cleansed? Then take the water and use it the way it was meant to have been used. Because the water is the Spirit of God. The water is the preaching. And I am just the conduit through which it flows. And it's a hard thing to learn. And until you learn it, you may be fearful. You may get angry. You may feel like it's the worst thing in the world. At St. George Church, there were some kids that were really out of control, and they were throwing rocks and big pieces of anything they could get their hands on over into the property that abutted our parking lot. And there was a swimming pool. And they'd thrown all kinds of things into the swimming pool. And the guy started screaming at me after the liturgy one Saturday about what these kids had done. And he was dropping F-bombs like, you know, he had, I don't know. He had plenty of vitriol. He had plenty of anger. And I said, will you please allow me to come and remove it from your pool? And when I didn't make any attempt at defending what had happened, I didn't make any attempt whatsoever to give an excuse for the thing that had happened, but I only asked for his forgiveness. I hadn't done anything. On this one time, remarkably, it wasn't my son that was in the midst throwing things over the wall. But all of a sudden, he started to apologize to me. I said, no, I'll take care of it. I said, I promise you, I will do my best. I will speak to everyone individually, and I will do my best to see it never happens again. But should anything ever happen, know that I am going to do my best to protect you. And we became friends. And this was after all of the profanity, all of the anger. And so the Lord is saying to them, he's saying, he who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he rejects me, him who sent me. And this is the way, as emissaries, we must be in this world. All of us. Some way or another. We must give, not force, but offer the thing that potentiates us, drives us forward, gets us up in the morning with hope, so that we may say, this is the day the Lord hath made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us do all these things for others so that they may have the same thing. Our ambition is not to change them for some self-aggrandizement. When the disciples said to the Lord, the demons themselves are subject to us in your name, he said, don't rejoice in this. Don't think about this. Think rather that your names are written in the kingdom of heaven. Know that you are assured of a place. And go without self-assurance and with that personal power, and then deliver that message of hope. Not to change them so that you can manipulate them or feel good about the work that you have wrought, but that you have given them a gift of grace. Glory be to our Holy Father, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.